heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor.
Our soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation. And now, Malcolm.
Yeah, looking at the current state of affairs, a lot of it comes down to if you're a half glass full or a half glass empty kind of person, depending upon you, how you see this thing. I, for one, am typically an optimist, as you know, but, you know, there's a lot of reasons here that where our optimism has been tested, for sure. And a lot of it, of course, is this cheating and stealing and fraud that's been going on in broad daylight. Well, we'll see how all that comes out and what really does see the light of day. But in the meantime, we're all questioning, you know, what should we think at this point? You know, what should we really think as this thing continues to turn forward, right? And I think the biggest test of all of this is our individual liberty. And I want to talk to you today about that. Just have a simple conversation about our individual liberty and what the stakes really are. And within that individual liberty, what I would call the Trump factor. And where Trump is in all of this, when it comes to your individual liberty versus a lot of the other political leaders you're dealing with that are really trying to steal your rights, whether people want to admit it or not, it's happening. We'll take a look at California, New York, Illinois specifically, those three states. Because if you carve out those three states out of our country and you leave the other 47, you'll see that we're a pretty deep red country, the balance of the country. If you take those three out, in fact, I can tell you right now, any conservative would win the electoral and the popular vote. But that's a whole lot of ifs, isn't it now? The one thing we've all learned through this whole exercise in this 2020 election, as it's still pushing forward now, is, you know, for me, I smell a deep state establishment, a corruption, a scandal, certainly of our lifetime in this whole election process. And we were seeing the fraud, and there are so many countless stories out there of different examples of how this has happened. Put that all aside a moment, if you will, okay? The one thing we can all probably agree on is this is really a final attempt from the establishment, the elite bureaucracy of the media and political elites, the betters, I always call them, you know, to get rid of Trump, who is sort of what they would equate to a bull in a china shop sort of look because of the way he has come in and tried to handle this establishment, very much so. And over the last 4 years, with their phony investigations, their phony impeachments, their phony politically lying one thing after the next, the phony FBI, CIA, DOJ, all of the government bureaucracies. You know, one thing that comes to my mind is this. Part of the reason in the push to get Trump out of there, regardless of your individual liberty, is I think it's an attempt for them to save their asses from the blow that I think would certainly be delivered in a Trump second term. And now you're seeing a lot of other these stories right now, like what can be done or not done in the next couple of months. Again, we still don't have the election to be final. The president certainly has not conceded. There's a lot of story to tell yet and how this thing ends. We'll all stay glued to that for sure. But within all these stories, the one thing that has become very apparent to me is that Donald Trump was a protector of our individual liberties. When you consider what he accomplished in the really short time that he was here, and hopefully that is doubled up, he gets another 4 years, but let's just talk about the 4 years almost that we've had. And again, just let's put all those investigations, impeachments, I don't want to talk about all the corruption and the scandals specifically today, but we do that enough. But we know it's all there. But in spite of all of that, the president has stood incredibly tall for individual liberty. We haven't seen anything like it. I mean, when you think about the way, and I'll give you some examples here, the way our individual liberties are being pulled apart and questioned, and how people are being well, they're being ruled by dictators right now. And, you know, ironically, you know, it should really not be lost on anybody. They've been pointing to the president and saying, oh, look over there. He's a dictator. Donald Trump was never a dictator. I mean, this was far from it. He was never going to be a dictator. He understood what the working man was all about. He understood what individual freedom and our liberties were about. He understood all of that. He stood for that. Just look at what he did with energy in our country, unleashing the energy power. Look at how we got in and supported the people in the energy field. And he was there with them step after step after step. But look at what he did with the farmers in spite of, you know, what he realized he had to take on China. This was never going to be an easy thing. And it was pretty brazen of him, actually, to take on China. Think of another politician who would have done that in the way that he did. It's remarkable, absolutely remarkable. And he took all that on in spite of the hit that it would be to, well, some of the votes maybe or the farmers or his not just his legacy, but certainly he would be called out. No matter what, if he was to take that stand. And yet he did it. Now, as I say to you all the time, most all politicians across the board, they pretty much do what is in their best interest for short-term gain. I mean, that's always pretty conclusive when it comes to political leadership in America. And I've been saying that for years and years and years. We don't play like China does or like the Middle East countries do, where they play more long game, long term. And they do it in a very calculated way. We don't do that here. So our politically elite here, our people in power, they play to the next election, always have, and they probably always will, unless we make some radical changes that I've certainly been talking to you about, including term limits and other things. To fix this system that is very corrupt that we're in right now. So Donald Trump, he did a lot of things. When you think about it, you look and you study and drill down of the things he accomplished in the first almost 4 years. Again, in spite of all that bad stuff over there, we pushed to the side for the moment. Agree, right? I mean, he's done, it's remarkable, the things he's accomplished for our individual liberties. And in spite of all of these headwinds coming at him, he still, I mean, it's just come down the list. I mean, prison reform and getting somewhere where they talk about, but they never get to it. And unleashing that, helping people again, back to giving liberty back to people who might not ever have it otherwise. You know, I remember that, you remember that story with Alice Johnson, that was one of the most famous cases where he got her out of prison and gave her a whole new lease on life, which was truly amazing. And there have been countless others like that he's done that with. And these people obviously are eternally grateful, to say the least, because it gives them a whole new start and a whole new life that they would not have otherwise. There's a lot of people like that. Trump believes and has always believed in individual liberty. He didn't take the power from the people. He gave it back, whether it was the farmers, whether it was energy, whether it was our trade agreements, whether it was tax cuts, our dollars, the economy. It all flowed back to the American people, always. That's where it was at. And he recognized that. It was never a power grab for him. I can't recall a single instance in my mind. I really can't, truthfully. That I would think, oh my God, he like really overreached. What a power grab from that guy. You know, we about say that about every politician, but you can't say that about Trump. I don't remember a circuit. I looked through many, many of his accomplishments, and it's hard to point to anything where you say, well, this guy really overstepped his bounds. And everything was for the benefit of the American people. Everything, including the big fights he had to take, illegal immigration being another one, fighting with them and then getting pinned low. You're putting the kids in cages on the, you know, you're a child murderer. What are you doing here? Pulling families apart. That was never his game. It has been proven that, but they branded it as such accordingly. That was Obama's game, who did the cages, did all of that. You know, we know that. And so, but he was, it was all pinned on Trump. That was all part of that, you know, beat, 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 the drum beat and that's really part of the problem with our media and, you know, this information flow out there is, it's sick. It seems to have, you know, one mission, and that is to assail our individual liberties. It's not to support them or promote them as the president has done. You know, I mentioned to you on the weekend about Justice Samuel Alito and the comments the Supreme Court justice came out and said, I'll get back to that a little bit later in the program about the our individual liberty. And some pretty striking comments were said from him, which should get all of us to pay attention, because it's unusual for a justice to step out like that in a case like that. He had to really feel compelled, and he did. And he put it out there, I think, in a very succinct way. It's a very interesting speech that I watched he did with the Federalist Society. A couple of things I want to point out about that a little bit later on. But let me get on to this dark winter that Joe Biden has been, well, he campaigned on it for sure. He talked about it. It was part of his whole campaign speech and program there about the dark winter, you know. Looking at, you think in simple terms about our liberty. You know, think about the people in our country who have lost that individual liberty or have been hit over the head with it or 2x4, or it's been tarnished in big ways. And there are some specific examples here that I think we should jump on. Because if these examples I give to you right now, my fellow Americans, if these become the rule versus the exception, then we're doomed here. We're absolutely doomed. And that's got nothing to do with Trump or without Trump. We're just going to be doomed. And part of this problem is the people we're electing at the local level. Now, there is a glimmer of hope I'm going to give you a little bit later. There's a good glimmer of hope from this 2020 election on some things that did happen that should give us all a little bit of a jump in our step regardless. And we'll get back to some of that glimmer of hope, But I'm talking about the exception of the rule right now, okay? And I'm talking about those three, really, I you know, you almost can call them communist states now, because they're certainly turning into really pretty wicked shade of blue, socialism for sure. And I think it's going to turn to even something more than that. Interesting. So let's take a look at Michigan first here, please. The Michigan governor, Gretchen Whitmer, who, of course, she's got a whole ton of nicknames, which we don't necessarily need to use here. But I think you understand, you know, Gretchen Whitmer, but possibly her parents named her appropriately. I don't know. You can take that and do all kinds of things with it, right? So you know, she's come out and she's putting more stay-at-home orders, more store closures in Michigan, and really attacking Michiganites, their individual liberties. And then you have to think, well, why would they vote her into office again? Or why would they even vote for a Joe Biden in his dark winter plan? And I would venture to say, I don't think they probably did. I mean, when we look at when this fraud thing gets through in the scandal, we'll see where Michigan was. But I think President Trump won Michigan. And so we'll see where the tail of this scandal goes. And there's a lot to be yet said and written about that, let's be clear. But with Michigan, so on Sunday, the governor there, Whitmer, announces just sweeping new limits now on gatherings for the next month. She's saying next 3 to 4 weeks, basically. This includes a ban on indoor dining at restaurants and bars. And this is unbelievable. I mean, these people can't even have a business anymore. I mean, why would anybody get into the restaurant business or the bar business or the gathering business of any kind? I mean, that's going to become a thing of the past in a lot of these states, very clearly. I mean, it will be a thing. I mean, who in their right mind would start a business today? You know, you wouldn't start a restaurant or a bar in some of these states. You'd be out of your mind. I mean, why would you? Just to go on hiatus and not be able to serve the people of what the whole intent of for you to open the business was, you know? And she's ordering a halt to all in-person classes at high schools, colleges, things of that nature. I mean, stopping everything. Now, Dr. Scott Atlas, who you may recognize the name here, he is a member of the White House Coronavirus Task Force. And a pretty interesting fellow there. And so he called for the people in Michigan, well, very simply, in two words, rise up. Rise up. I mean, that's what it's all about. We talk about America rising up all the time, right? We the people rising up. Well, that's what Scott Atlas comes out and says, time to rise up in Michigan. And say the governor, you know, the governor is represents and is elected by the people. She works for the people. See, that's the problem with this whole system. It's perverted to the point that we have it asked backwards. People think, oh, my gosh, she's like a goddess. She's like the boss, the governor. Well, she's not the boss and she's not a goddess for sure. I mean, she works for the people and the people, they choose her. Just as we do all of these elected representatives. And that's so warped how people don't understand that in our country. It's very alarming, actually, how people view political leaders now like they're saintly, like they walk on water of some sort. It's very troublesome to me. And we've got to continue to teach people the truth, the God's honest truth about all of this, because they have it asked backwards, basically. She is at the beck and call of the people. If the people don't like her, well, just assemble out there at her home and at the governor's mansion and raise holy hell. Unless you people in Michigan, this is what you want. Well, it's what you got. But Dr. Scott Atlas is saying, time to rise up, people. Rise up, do something, you know. And she wants to put, she calls it a pause, just pause life. It's like, you know, what the hell is a pause? Put your hand on your ass and hold it there. We're going to pause. I mean, you just can't stop breathing. You can't stop eating. You can't stop living. You can't stop learning. You can't stop doing. We don't want to pause, you know? Just asking for a pause in our lives. It's like one of those old films where everything just goes still. You see the still shot of everybody. It's like frozen in time. It's like that, you know, and then somebody from the future pops down and they see everybody's frozen there, you know? It's like, and it's like that split moment, like just pause. Okay, we're paused. What do we do now? You know, and then of course the aliens come in and do what they're gonna do, and then we can unpause again. Okay, go about your business, please. So that's what she's asking to do in Michigan. Pause, just pause. Potentially that doesn't impact her life, but it's certainly gonna impact a lot of people in Michigan. I hope they follow Dr. Scott Atlas's advice and rise. I hope they go down to the governor's mansion in her home, and I hope they raise holy hell is what I hope they do, because the people of Michigan deserve far better. Yeah, I just see here Scott Atlas, he put in a tweet there. I just noticed the only way this stops is if people rise up. You get what you accept. Hashtag freedom matters, you think? step up. Yeah, amazing. Anyways, these are her new public health measures. It's funny how they put all that stuff and stealing your liberties under a public health measure. But public health measure, you know, they know what's best for you. Give me a break, right? And then, and by the way, in addition to, let's jump from Michigan now to get over to, before we get to California, New York, let me just take a short trip, although it's not one of those three states I mentioned. He's another doofus, the Washington governor, Jay Inslee, of course. And by the way, these are all four. If you take even the state of Washington, for instance, all these states, they're all socialist communist governors, basically. They don't believe in individual liberties. These people went to a different kind of school or have a different kind of education or something like that, you know? So he also laid out a bunch of rules, new rules, I guess you call it, his new rules, how to live a happy life and be miserable. Huh. And so he's prohibiting indoor social gatherings with people outside one's household and indoor service at restaurants, bars, and more. So he's prohibiting them, the indoor social gatherings with people outside one's household. The hell sense does that make? You get me. But just let's connect the next couple of sentences here. Wedding and funeral receptions are forbidden. So you can't get married and you can't die. So no dying in the state of Washington. and no getting married, unless you just do a justice of the peace. But I'm not even sure that's allowed. Maybe you do it by phone or by Zoom. Probably do it by Zoom, I guess. You know, I mean, a Zoom wedding. Has anybody tried that yet? Or if even the funeral, do it by Zoom. Get the Zoom up there, put the casket. If you got a casket, those are kind of morbid, though, unless it's a urn of some sort. But, you know, and just run the Zoom video. Oh, there's Jack. Poor Jack. That old bastard, he's gone. Poor Jack. Yeah. I'll be doing Zoom funerals, Zoom weddings, Zoom bar mitzvahs, Zoom everything now, right? That's what it's become, the new world order. Zoom is the new Skype, what Skype was. It's now the way people are. They're going to go Zoom it. Becomes a whole action mode of how we're going to live our lives. So religious services, the in-store retail are all forced to be reduced capacity in Washington. And social gatherings, even outdoor social gatherings, by the way, must be kept to a maximum of 5 people. Can you believe this? So it's not exactly, I mean, you can't really have a party unless those 5 people are the life of the party, unless you're inviting 5 of me, because I would certainly be a life of a party. Then we have a good time, sure. Maybe less is more there. But to have a real party and open up the doors and say, okay, we're going to invite 50, 100, a couple of hundred people to have a, you know, one of those great parties, a block party of some sort, can't do it. Got to have 5 people. And that's it. So that's not really, again, unless you get 5 that are the life of the party and can turn it all on, probably not going to work yet. So let's get over to California. One of our favorite politicians, Governor Newsom. Governor Newsom. So he's got Thanksgiving rules now. Okay. And they're got new Thanksgiving rules for the severe restrictions that are now going to be put into place. And so singing, chanting, and shouting are strongly discouraged. No singing, no chanting, no shouting, especially no singing. Don't want anybody to be too happy now. Can't do that. They pose a very high risk of COVID-19 transmission. All gatherings must include no more than 3 households, including hosts and guests, and must be held outdoors, lasting for 2 hours or less. Can't do 2 hours and 15 minutes, people. Got to be less than 2 hours. So not only are they telling you how many you can have, where you can have it, but how long you can have it. So gatherings that occur outdoors are significantly safer than indoor gatherings, he says there. Newsom now. All gatherings must be held outside. Attendees must go inside to use restrooms. So you can't pee on the street or poop on the street. You got to go inside to use the restrooms. As long as the restrooms are frequently sanitized, it said. This is the statement now. This is a real statement from the governor's office here. Newsom. It's a real statement, people. I'm not making this stuff up. Says here. Again, gatherings occur outdoors, specifically safer than indoor gatherings. Okay, all gatherings must be held outside. Can't do anything inside anymore. Even if you're, I don't know if that means if you're having intimate relations with somebody, that should be outdoors versus indoor. Depends how many people you have in the intimate relations, of course. So we'll put that to the side there a moment as well, if you don't mind. But attendees may go inside to use restrooms as long as the restrooms are frequently sanitized. So if the restrooms are not frequently sanitized, then I guess you go on the street because you got to, the old saying you learned when you're a kid, when you got to go, you got to go. You can't wait, people. Got to go, got to go. But again, in California, you have to have frequently sanitized to be able to use the restroom, and you must go inside to use the restroom, but you must do your other activities outside. Well. Governor Newsom, California. Truly amazing, huh? And then the other one we like a lot, the Cuomo, New York. Wow. And then, of course, Blasio, the friendly mayor. The friendly mayor of New York City. They make a really great Batman and Robin team, Cuomo. And there should be a sitcom made about this. That would be a smash hit. I'd love to direct or produce that with like a real sitcom about Cuomo and Blasio. how to destroy a state in three easy steps here, you know. But that would be a Batman and Robin sort of sitcom, I think, would be a big hit here. It would be fun. Be a lot of fun with all the crazy things they've done. You could just see that play out there, you know. So New York City restaurants, they're saying as winter nears, that dark winter that Joe Biden is talking about, the coronavirus pandemic has pummeled New York City's restaurants and bars. Can't get drunk anymore in New York City, I'll tell you that, which have endured stricter and lengthier restrictions than their counterparts in other areas of the state. For sure. But I know all the people statewide up in New York are not happy with Cuomo. And I can't imagine how this guy wins another term or Blasio wins tonight. You just can't see these scenarios. And if the people don't respect their individual liberties and they put these Whitmers and these Newsoms and these Cuomos and these Inslees back in office, then you know what, people? They deserve what they get. Then they really are communist states and cities, and they deserve what they get. Those politicians work for them. And if that's who they want working for them, then, you know, God love it. The creek don't rise. You can have it. I'm not going to your states then. You can keep it. In fact, my son asked me the other day, he said, this is true. It's just here yesterday. He says, could we go to New York City for Christmas? And I said, buddy, I said, New York is not the New York you remember, because I took them for a great holiday in Manhattan a few years back. We had a wonderful time. Stayed at a Trump hotel there, too. They loved the whole thing. And, he knows it, but he doesn't really know. You know how it is when you see something, you know it. But until you really see it, you don't really know it. You know it, but you don't know it. You got to see it. You got to see it with your own eyes. You got to see the proof, right? I mean, we're all kind of that way. It's not just for a teenager. We're all sort of that way. Like, it really is that bad in such and such. Okay, yeah, no, I read it somewhere. I believe it's true. I just don't really know with my own eyes and ears. I haven't experienced it. And that's what it is. He knows New York is in a heap of trouble. But he was so looking forward to having some sort of a holiday somewhere, as I know a lot of people are out. He says, could we go to New York to have that? He remembers a great holiday we had in New York at Manhattan Christmas and the ice rings and the theater and all the beautiful New York trimmings, you know, that would go with a New York holiday. And I said, New York is not New York, buddy. I said, this is not going to work. Yeah. New York may never be New York again. The New York you remember, my son, is not the New York today. And I can't tell you New York is coming back anytime soon. And I'm not sure it could ever come back in our lifetime. So as far as another New York trip in Manhattan in the Christmas or winter or any other time of year, I don't know that that's going to happen. I may have to pick another locale in another area or something else. But how sad is that? An American tradition gone, probably. Certainly it's gone for the immediate future, but I don't know how they bring it back when all these restaurants and famous places are out of business, theaters are closed. And how do you bring all that back? Now, maybe it does. Maybe it comes back, people, on its own. I don't really know how that happens, but maybe it does. I'm just not sure how it does. When it's so far gone, you know, so far removed from the reality of what we remember, you know. So anyways, that was the deal. I don't think we're having a New York holiday there. Anytime soon. Certainly, I don't want to be aggravated with that. So the pandemic, so what they've done here now in New York, restaurants and bars were restricted to takeout and delivery from late March, you remember, to about the end of June. And then the indoor dining was banned until September 30th, and it remained limited to 25% capacity. But yet restaurants elsewhere in the state were allowed 50% capacity. Now, imagine having a restaurant that you're already struggling because you've been closed down from a pandemic and from all kinds of distractions, and you've been totally obliterated. You can't pay the bills, right? And then when they do open you up, you can only have 25% of the business, but yet you still get 100% of your bills, but you only get 25% capacity, even if you're lucky to get the 25% capacity. I mean, what does that mean? Well, it means you're doomed. It means you're not going to make it. And by the way, a recent survey of more than 400 restaurants and bars and nightlife establishment in New York area, the New York City area, by the New York City Hospitality Alliance, found 88% could not pay their full rent in October, and 30% paid no rent at all. And that's a trickle-in effect is what that is, because that just trickles to the people who own the buildings. Then they can't pay their bills, and those bills can't pay their bills, and those people that did that kind of can't do their thing. And it's a trickle-in effect. All that money has to, you know, it would typically end up in the economy, and that's not going to happen. So this is, you know, you may think, well, I don't go for dinner, or I don't do this, or I don't really go out to eat in that area. It doesn't matter. But it absolutely impacts everybody. It's a trickling effect. Every dollar that's being spent somewhere has a residual somewhere else. It's going to impact life to some other degree. You know, that's what it is. So all of these things now, and all these things culminate. And the big three I want you to remember is Illinois, New York, and California, okay? Because the three of those, I think one of the things we've been talking about in recent times here is, where are we going as a nation? When we sometimes step back and we consider the popular vote, and over the past, you know, few elections, we see, where is that really at? Where's the country thinking? Versus as people are exiting some of these states. California has an exodus. New York has an exodus. Illinois has an exodus. All three of those states, people are leaving. So the people that are going to be left are the people that evidently have no respect for their own individual liberties and don't understand the governor's work for them. So then that means those states are really doomed. They have no shot of ever coming back, because if the best of the best is leaving, if the creme de la creme is leaving, if the high wage earners are leaving, if the people who have brains are leaving, and clearly they are people, who the hell would want to stay there? Would you stay there? I wouldn't stay there. I don't think you probably want to stay there either. And that's what they got left. They got nothing left. And so they're going to have like, and then you're going to see it gets worse. I mean, because then you've got the lowest possible denominator left. That's all you have there right now. And so it's those people who, you know, they feed off of the system. Then you're like, I remember we talked about a lot of stories in the past few months, last 6 months, a lot of high wage people, a lot of your millionaires out of New York, they've left, they're gone. In fact, you remember that? You remember Blasio Cuomo? Cuomo was up there saying, come over, I'll make you dinner at the house. Please bring your business back. I mean, this is after they're shutting everything down and closing them out. I mean, I don't know where these people come from and why these people, like these guys, think that somehow these people that have lived their life and earned the respect to make some money, and now somehow they think that they're going to be attracted back to a market that they've literally handcuffed and closed down. And yet they're going to pour all their money back into this dead market somehow, which is what Cuomo was begging them to do. You got to be out of your flipping mind if you do that. I mean, nobody in their right mind who has made any kind of money, who has any kind of brains over all those years, would certainly want to stay in a market like this and be abused. Who would want that? For what reason? Just to make Cuomo feel good, or the fact he's going to make me dinner at his house or his penthouse or something? You can keep it. Keep your dinner and keep your program there. So with those three states, I think, interestingly, you know, we've been talking about, if you take those three states off of the popular vote, what would be left? I mean, there was a lot of talk coming up to the election in 2020 where we said, well, where's America really headed? Are we doomed? And everybody has a different feeling or a different sense about that, where the future of our country is. And yet, you know, say, well, why are people voting that way, or why are they acting that way? But if you take those three states, which are pretty far gone, it seems, and they have these, you know, Marxist politicians that are running them into the ground, I might add, then what happens is, you know, if we pull them out, what's left in the country? Is there a glimmer of hope in the future? Because a lot of people have been saying to me, well, there's no hope for the future. We're not going to make it, Malcolm. We're not going to get there. And we say, well, and, you know, I had this conversation a couple of months ago, you might remember, with Dr. Jay Lehrer, in fact. And he, being an optimist, says, well, you know, Malcolm, I mean, listen, if you take New York, he made a bet, actually. He said, if you take New York, California, and Illinois out of the equation, this is before the election now, he said this to us here, said it to you out there as well, then what would happen is, you know, Trump would win absolutely the popular vote and electoral college and all of it. And at that point, what happens is, you know, hey, we have a future in our country. We're not lost in the weeds. We'll be okay. Versus, you know, we're in dire straits, because a lot of people think we're screwed right now. A lot of people are not highly optimistic. And of course, how does it be optimistic when you're candidate du jour over there, Biden, is ordering on the menu a dark winter? Not exactly a call for common collectiveness and optimism to get out and build a life or a business or a better quality of life. We're going to have a dark winter. That's pretty sick, actually. I've never heard of a politician trying to win a race. Well, we're going to just have a dark, we're going to hunker down and be miserable for the next year. What sense does that really make, people? Anyways, later in the week, there's a lot to talk about with these three states. If we did pull those three out of the numbers, where are we really are? Do we have hope? How do Americans really feel about our future? What are the expectations of the American dream? What does that look like ahead? And are we being saddled by the bureaucracy of these other states? I know that doesn't maybe sound right, but I think it's an experiment we need to look at. I'm going to have Dr. Jay Lehrer on later in the week, and I've asked him to put together a piece, and he's researching all that now to look at those three states minus where we're at, what takes place, and kind of what our future enterprise looks like here in America. I think it'll be an interesting exercise to take a look at, and it might prepare us for some things ahead, potentially. We'll see. I'm not saying we have all the answers to that, but I do think it is time we step back and look at the American dream, American exceptionalism, and are we really doomed as a nation? As a lot of people are projecting, that we're going down the wrong road here, the yellow brick road, that is, and how do we get it back, you know? So with all that said, we'll wrap that up in a pretty package now for you, and that is that your favorite doctor, Dr. Fauci, he's suggesting that you cancel Thanksgiving gatherings. And of course, this would be and then Christmas as well is coming right after that. So, and this is, he would, again, this would be another sitcom, The Scrooge. Dr. Fauci would be the original Scrooge, and he looks like the Scrooge. You wouldn't need very much makeup to make him into a Scrooge. Very limited makeup, in fact. So you wouldn't need a big makeup budget, but he would definitely play the role of the Scrooge very, very well, Dr. Fauci. Well, you can see him coming in, you know. And so he suggested cancel Thanksgiving and cancel Christmas and just, you know, again, suck it up. He's in cahoots with the Biden on the dark winter. I wouldn't want these people running my portfolio. I'll tell you that, man. Wow. So Fauci is 79 years old, by the way. He had this interview with CBS Evening News. That should tell you plenty. They always go to those 60-minute programs or whatever, ABC, CBS, NBC, the three blind mice that are running the networks there. And, you know, we expect an uptick. And so let's all hunker down. And they're preparing, you know, for this dark, dark winter. So researchers from the Ohio State University Wexner Medical Center, well, they conducted a national survey about how Americans plan to spend the holidays. And they had a press release out, in fact, and they said, well, they found that a majority of Americans plan on taking precautions due to the pandemic. Sure, sure. And a significant number may be putting themselves at risk, they say, because, dun, 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 drum roll, please, about 40% of Americans intend to celebrate Thanksgiving and Christmas, nonetheless. Can you believe these people? How did, not giving one up for the team? What is the matter with these people? How un-American, huh? They're going to celebrate Thanksgiving and Christmas. Unbelievable. 40% of Americans intend to celebrate that with at least 10 people, breaking all the rules. Depending on where you live, if you live in a red state, blue state, we got to make a Dr. Seuss rhyme out of that. Red state, blue state, red state, blue state. Bing, 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 bing. So the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, has warned against Thanksgiving celebrations. Good old CDC. You can always count on these groups to have your back end covered there, right? They warned against any Thanksgiving celebrations that include anyone, anyone that means anything to you, anyone that means anyone to you, anybody, any relative, any distant relative, any casual friend, anybody at all. We recommend you stay far from them. Do a Zoom thing. All sit in a room, private, everyone in a separate room, Zoom it, eat your turkey and tell war stories. When you remember the day when we used to meet in a room, you remember the day when we used to all eat at the Thanksgiving table? By golly, when was that, Martha? I don't know. Roy, where was that? I don't, that was it back in the day, before we let the Marxists run away with the program. Yeah, that's when that was. Wow. So with all that said, there is a glimmer of hope. And then there's this thing called, again, individual liberties. And when you really consider, my fellow Americans, and you look at the Marxist program of how to ruin your state and how to corrupt the system versus the Trump doctrine and what the Trump doctrine is and being respectful of individual rights, it's not really a contest, is it now? Is it? And yet they point at Trump as being the one who is going to suppress your rights, the one who was going to be the dictator in charge, the one that was going to be this, that, and the other. He was the one they remember. That's all you got to do with the left. Whatever they're saying is who they are. They don't need to hide it. You just have to know whatever they're suggesting that Trump is or isn't. You just know that is who they are. You can count on this. They're never going to get in there and say, well, God, I really like what President Trump is doing. He's been a remarkable president for the past 4 years. He's accomplished so much for our great nation. We are just, we're just blown away by all of it. You know, so you're never going to have to worry about hearing that, but you will hear everything that he did wrong. Every time the man had sex, everything he did with his taxes, everything that he's such a vicious creature, just horrible for our nation because he self-indulged in the American dream to the umpteenth, he celebrated the American dream. He achieved the American dream. He is the American dream. And this is how warped it all is, people. It's how warped it is. So everything they're pushing out there is exactly who they are. Go ask them about the hush fund. Release the hush fund in Washington that Congress has with all that sex money they pay out there. And that's on both sides of the aisle, by the way. That's just a politically astute because I got news for you. D's and R's, they're both corrupt and they both do a lot of hanky-panky up there, I'll tell you that. So, interesting comments from Alito. Glimmer of hope. We'll pause a quick moment. Be back just a moment.
Our global experts are brilliant writers and engaging hosts on a mission of a lifetime. You'll find the latest news and inspiration on the front page of AmericaOutloud.com.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
My fellow Americans, you've watched for decades as radical Marxists have systematically taken over some of our nation's most cherished institutions. Well, AmericaOutloud.com is fighting back with one of the fastest growing conservative media networks in the world, featuring some of the nation's most influential experts and commentators. Join us. We're in this together. And we consider you part of our family in our crusade to share the news, commentary, and agenda that can lead America back again. It is a fight for the soul of humanity. America Out Loud Talk Radio is the voice of liberty and justice for all.
Listen to Malcolm, the voice of a nation, on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa.
So Justice Samuel Alito told he had a talk with the Federalist Society there this past week. It was about Thursday or so, late in the week it was. And he said the coronavirus, the China special pandemic, has resulted in previously unimaginable restrictions on individual liberty. Now, you can define the word unimaginable various different ways, depending on where you live and what your thought process is. But it is an interesting word that Alito uses, unimaginable. And he has them in quotes, they have them when he uses them, because they are unimaginable. Now, if you live in Illinois, New York, or California, you damn well better imagine that, because that is your life. So that's why there's an exodus there. You know, you better start watching and being real careful in those states that, you know, as much as those governors railed against the wall and as much as those governors railed against, you know, keeping open borders open, this, you better be very careful with this exodus that's happening in those states, that those governors don't begin to build walls around your little states there, those, the fiefdoms there, the Illinois fiefdom, the New York fiefdom, and the California fiefdom. You see, you better be careful they don't build those walls and lock you all in before you, if you're not careful and you don't get out on the exit, you know, back to the early exodus and be in the first exit to get on the interstate, get out of there with your moving truck, you might find them building walls to keep your happy ass right there, because, hey, listen, they need somebody to boss around. I mean, come on, they need somebody to be their bitch, and maybe that's you, maybe it's not you, but if it is you, probably not you if you're listening to this, but certainly you've got friends and people you love there. Maybe you should give them a game plan and get out of there. But think about it. I'm just saying, you know, that could be the next thing, taking the last few dollars they have left and build walls around their states to keep the citizens in the states. I wouldn't be surprised at all, actually, quite frankly. And if you play to Alito's comments, you get the point of what we're talking about here with these unimaginable restrictions. Alito said the dreams of many small businesses have been dashed. You think that is the case, huh? That is an understatement, your Justice. I want to play a quick clip here for you. It's about a minute or so from Justice Alito. And I think it's important listening to what he says here and hear from the Justice. Listen to this, please.
We have never before seen restrictions as severe, extensive, and prolonged as those experienced for most of 2020. Think of all the live events that would otherwise be protected by the right to freedom of speech. Live speeches, conferences, lectures, meetings. Think of worship services. Churches closed on Easter Sunday. Synagogues closed for Passover and Yom Kippur. Think about access to the courts or the constitutional right to a speedy trial. Trials in federal courts have virtually disappeared in many places. Who could have imagined that? The COVID crisis has served as a sort of constitutional stress test, and in doing so, it has highlighted disturbing trends that were already present before the virus struck. One of these is the dominance of lawmaking by executive fiat rather than legislation. The vision of early 20th century progressives and the New Dealers of the 1930s was that policymaking would shift from narrow-minded elected legislators to an elite group of appointed experts. In a word, that policymaking would become more scientific. That dream has been realized to a large extent. Every year, administrative agencies, acting under broad delegations of authority, churn out huge volumes of regulations that dwarf the statutes enacted by the people's elected representatives. And what have we seen in the pandemic? Sweeping restrictions imposed, for the most part, under statutes that confer enormous executive discretion.
He says that, you know, he's not criticizing officials for their policy decisions specifically, he said. He said, hey, listen, I'm a judge, not a policymaker. And he was saying that this before launching into the speech that he hoped his remarks would not be twisted or misunderstood. You know, wink, wink. He's hoping, right? I especially liked how he called this the constitutional stress test, which, by the way, my fellow Americans, we have failed that constitutional stress test and then some, because your individual liberties have been obliterated. They were obliterated even in red states early on and blue states. They were obliterated everywhere across our great nation. They've only started to come back in red states, but blue states are still off the charts. And as I just gave you all those examples, you know, I especially like this other comment that was made. I picked up in one of the publications, I think it was the WP or the one of those far left publications. I think it was Washington Post maybe, but he Alito says he was particularly aggrieved that the governor in Nevada limited church attendance while allowing casinos to reopen at 50% capacity and called for visitors to return to the state. The 51st person in line for a church service was out of luck, he said. Forget about worship and head for the slot machine or maybe a Cirque du Soleil show, he says. Interesting. But again, he's just putting it out there. It was a very interesting speech he put out there. And you love this comment here. Washington Post says, Alito's blunt words are likely to reignite questions about how far Supreme Court justices should go in speeches. You always know that's a far left, you know, publication or media people that you just know that immediately when they come out and say that. Well, you know, we don't know how far he should go out with his free speech. We don't know that he should exercise his free speech right now. It's probably not in our best interest. You just have to see how all crazy this, how perverted all this stuff is and how backwards it all is and where it's all going in regards to our individual liberties. I mean, it's pretty crazy stuff. And yet it's becoming more and more a reality of life, a current day reality, and more of a normal life, which would never have been normal in our great country, but it's becoming acceptable now. People are becoming, you know, they're in tune to it all now. And the way people are, the way they act in public, the way they, it's all of it. The way they wear your masks, do this, do that, follow the orders. These are all the orders. Lock up the dog park, behave yourself, you know, all of this kind of stuff, you know. I don't know, people. I think, back to what Alito says, a constitutional stress test and then some. And it really is a constitutional stress test for our great nation to know that we are in some really uncharted waters and we are being tested like never before. And the sad part about it is there is a good percentage of our nation, which is they are willing to, you know, step all over these liberties. And they're willing to follow these people. That's like the Pied Piper. You know, they're willing to follow these horrible, horrible political Marxist politicians. They're not leaders, clearly, but they are political figureheads. And it's hard to fathom that there are so many people following the Pied Piper. But there is. There absolutely is. And we're losing those individual liberties in our nation. And we've been talking in past months and months and months and well before the election about where is America headed as a nation? What does the future look like? We have a sense we're getting in some weird areas now. And we just get a sense that there's something wrong with the whole thing. And we know it. We can feel it. We can just sense it all around us. We know it's not business as usual. We don't want to really sound the alarm too loud, although I have been doing that here for you on your behalf. But I know a lot of people that don't want to, you know, break the eggshells or, you know, just make it so obvious. But, you know, there comes a point in time where we do need to be obvious. There comes a point in time where we're going to get on top of the mountains and use our megaphone and speak out loud to get people's attention. There comes a time, people, in our lives. There comes a time where we need to stand up and be counted for every reason, for our own self, for our own preserve and our own liberties, but for our families and for the families' lives that have not been born yet, for those people that are still coming in this this life, you know, this amazing life and this amazing blue marble here that I talk to you about all the time, right? Glimmer of hope. Well, here is a glimmer of hope. America is a very resourceful nation with amazing people, beautiful people, that is, incredible possibilities of our great nation, without a doubt, okay? But the glimmer of hope, well, the Democrats lost a lot of seats in the House, and we'll see what that final number is, but it looks like it's going to be north of 10, could get even higher, and so that means they've lost a lot of power, and probably I would say to you that play your cards right and, you know, keep your nose clean. And in the midterm, I would have ventured they'd take the House back very much. They could have done it here almost had we played this thing better and organized it and, you know, not hit everything against us, because Trump was doing a great things and everybody's seen it. And Trump's coattails were amazing, by the way, because he won the race and his coattails are truly remarkable. The Democrats failed to win a Senate majority. And I can pretty well tell you the Republicans are going to keep that now. And so that's good. And the Republicans held the majority in 31 state legislatures. That is big. So 31 state legislatures to put, get in the face of some of these Marxist mayors and governors and give them a hard time on the people's behalf. But the people have to make it a little easier for patriots and freedom to survive and thrive. They got to make it easier by getting some of these other leaders in these key positions and mayors and governors to be, you know, freedom lovers, people that, like Alito, would expect or respect our individual liberties. That's really what we need. And that's the driving point here of what needs to be accomplished here. But there is a glimmer of hope. All that is very positive, people. And the other glimmer of hope is that when you take a California, New York and Illinois out of the equation, you've got a lot of red from sea to shining sea. You have a lot of freedom-loving Americans who know what Trump brought to the game here. Absolutely. Godsend. They know what individual liberty is all about. And I'm going to prove that later in the week. We're going to have a very much more interesting conversation with Dr. Jay Lehrer about the 47 states versus the three. I think it's going to be quite fascinating. He's heavily researching that now and look forward to bringing that to you. So in any event, I'm here to tell you that there is a glimmer of hope in spite of all the doom and gloom. And of course, you know, at the end of the day, I try to always get you to chuckle a little bit or laugh, even as sometimes it seems very bleak and dire. It doesn't always have to be. But again, there is a warning sign in here too. And I'm here to be that for you as well. And I'm here to remind you all, as I thank you for being with me on the mission always, you must remember, it's time to get involved and get loud.